Buon pomeriggio, buonasera, ovunque voi siate. Welcome back to Italy Echo, the only bilingual show in the greater Boston area, hosted by Viviana Dragani. And today I have an Italian guest here. He's an Italian-American entrepreneur with a brilliant career and also a valuable member of the Italian community in Boston. Michael Colomba, welcome, benvenuto.
Ciao, piacere, thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. So let's start from the very beginning. Where are you from and when did you move to the US?
Yes, originally I am from a little town, or I should say now it is a city, Castellammare del Golfo, in the province of Trapani, or the west coast of Sicily. We came to Boston in 1970. When I was 10 years old.
Wow, very,
And
very young.
we've been here 54 years now, so I just disclosed my age.
So let's talk about your brilliant career now.
Well, let's say that it has been an exciting run. I've been involved in numerous businesses and diverse economies. And that's almost not always by choice, but by the changes in the businesses, the economy, and so forth, you know? I always loved construction, big equipment, heavy construction. It was always my passion as a young boy to be in the big construction projects. And so I started out as a equipment operator, and I used to operate forklifts, cranes, that were as much as 12 stories high. And while I was going to school, taking engineering courses at night, and at the age of 21, I started my own construction company. And I actually started out remodeling extremely sensitive historical buildings, which is kind of unique business, and because it requires special knowledge and really attention to the details, because you are trying to preserve historical buildings. And so I did that for a while, but in the meantime, I was simultaneously buying real estate. I started buying real estate when I was 19 years old. And so by the age of 21, I had already accumulated about 28 apartments, which was, I would say challenging because you're starting out, but it was rewarding because I could see that I'm going somewhere, you know? And with that, my construction company grew. By the time I was 24, I had over 40 employees, and we were doing sizable projects. We were actually starting to do a lot of good sized projects, and construction is my passion. Again, I need the next challenge. I need to build the next building. The bigger, the better. The more challenging, the more fun, So building our own buildings for a few years, we were buying and remodeling my own real estate. Then we ended up doing work for other people, and we started building a lot of retail stores. So I built the first 30 Starbucks in the East Coast, starting from Washington, D.C. to Boston. We were building Starbucks all over, again, the entire East Coast, New York, New Jersey. And simultaneously, I was involved. I used to have a flight school. I used to operate a flight school. We had over 20 airplanes. And with that business, I had a relationship with the FAA, and they were always somewhat not complaining, but they were always discussing their projects of remodeling the air traffic control towers or installing new radar towers. And I said, "Hey, I grew up on cranes and heavy equipment. That's my kind of work." And Before you know it, I am remodeling air traffic control towers in all over New England. And after 3 years, I went national with them. And we were again doing new construction, remodeling air traffic control radar towers, instrument landing systems, VORs, precision runway monitors. In other words, everything that has to do with aviation. And that was a 38-year run, you know, so we did a lot of construction all over the country. I get to travel substantially in all the major cities, be JFK, I'm sorry, Philadelphia, San Francisco, and everywhere else in between, Florida, Texas, and so on. So that was always my sort of bread and butter, but simultaneously, I would continue to buy and invest in real estate. And that was a nice run. And then 12 years ago, I decided that I was going to retire. And so I did. I stopped building radar towers. You know, I settled down and I built a beautiful hotel in Waltham with the idea that I would just sit back, relax, and do nothing. Well, that lasted about 2 years. The hotel was very successful, and I was a restless soul. I could not just sit there, and I needed some stimulus. I needed some challenges. And because I had a great experience in building the many restaurants, because there was other restaurants in addition to Starbucks. And so I had all this pent-up experience, and you know, I've always been a foodie. And I said, you know what? I want to do something with food. And I remember going to Sicily with my son, going throughout the island, scouting for ideas of a food product that we could introduce to the US. And I decided to pursue the arancini. Arancini was not, or even to this day, still not a very known product to the American community. And anyway, so I started the manufacturing arancinis, and before you know it, you know, I remember doing the first 1,000 arancinis, then it was 10,000, then it was 50,000 a month, and we haven't stopped since. So now my arancinis are in over 120 supermarkets and another, I don't know, 25, 30 other bars and restaurants. So the arancinis are, or have become, somewhat of a good business. So with that, I opened a restaurant named Brelundi. You know, Brelundi stands for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, as you can see in my background. And it's a patented trademark. And so now I have begun the prototype. I want to launch an Italian fast food. And I'm building a prototype now in Tewkesbury, open to open it over the next month or two, followed by a second one in Billerica. And so, again, what started out as a hobby 12 years ago is now somewhat of a sizable business and growing. And that's how I keep myself having fun. But you know, I still manage some real estate. I'm also developing a hotel in Waltham with the idea in mind that I want to create a somewhat of a cultural center. I grew up musical. I was always in some kind of a band, you know, playing instruments, but I need to qualify. So if somebody asks me to play something for them, I just need to qualify that I need a day job. I could never make a living from playing music, but I enjoy the music level that I have. And anyways, in Waltham, I want to create this stage theater where people can come in. It'll be a restaurant, but it'll also be like dinner dance, dinner shows. There'll be musicals, comedians, magicians, sort of an array of a center where people can go and bring the families, the kids, couples, depending on the venue that we will be presenting. And so that's one of the other projects I'm working on right now. I also operate and run a fairly sizable sports facility down in Plymouth, and we have basketball, volleyball, pickleball. Who knew that pickleball was going to be such a big sport? We have a beautiful swimming pool, fantastic gym equipment, and it's a fun business, and it keeps me busy. You know, sometimes too busy, but it's what I enjoy, you know.
Congratulations on all of your initiatives. All of them are super interesting, cultural initiatives as well. I'm very impressed. And so you must be very busy, but nevertheless, you still have time to cultivate your hobbies and develop other interests, right?
Absolutely. And I mentioned one hobby, which is, you know, playing. And as a matter of fact, I took guitar lessons this morning. So in addition to getting together with some friends and playing music, I have been a private pilot for about 37 years now. And as I mentioned earlier, I used to be part owner of a flight school where we had over 20 airplanes. And you know, that was my passion, and I flew substantially. There wasn't a week that I would not take one or two flights, you know, flying all over New England and or anywhere I would fly to for vacation. I would go to the local airport, rent an airplane, and go flying. And I have flown over Niagara Falls, the Statue of Liberty, Brazil, all over Florida, the Grand Canyon, just to name a few. This past March, I, with a friend who's a professional pilot, and he had just bought an airplane in Holland, and I flew to Holland, met with them, and we flew to Austria. We flew over the Alps, one of the most spectacular experiences of my life. We flew to Rome, we flew to Sicily. We flew across the Mediterranean, over to France, and then back over the Alps, across Germany, back to Holland. And again, the pictures that I have, the memories that I have, can never be erased. And again, I fulfilled one of my dreams to do that trip in Europe, but I plan to do more, you know, across this country and maybe in other continents in the future.
Thank you, Michael. So you mentioned arancini. What other Italian and Southern Italian specialties can we find at Brelunti?
Okay, so Grelundi, I want to represent the foods and traditions that I grew up with, you know. Obviously, the arancini is one of the most represents the Sicilian culinary foods, you know. But we have some pastries that are unique to us, called the Irish, for example. We import ricotta from Sicily, made from sheep's milk, which you cannot get in this country. Recently, we experimenting, and I brought a guy here from Sicily, and we started making our own mortadella. We make our own different salamis. We have panelles, which is a chickpea. It's almost like a hummus fritter, you know, which is again unique to the Mediterranean, lower Mediterranean Sicilian culture. And obviously, you know, we have all the other traditional, you know, Mediterranean cuisine or foods. And we're hoping to, with this new venue in Tewkesbury and this fast food idea, that we can have these foods really available to the American public in the hope that they will accept it. Because sometimes, even if you introduce a food and they're not familiar with, people tend to gravitate towards their comfort level. You know, when I first opened Brelundi, I wanted to be a very high-end, you know, restaurant. But people gravitated towards spaghetti meatballs and chicken parm. And it's great, don't get me wrong. It's fantastic food. And we have nothing but we use only fresh chicken and never frozen. We make meatball with meat, you know. And but again, I was hoping that the clientele would have a broader expectation that we could introduce them to so many more other products. And we'll try to do this in this new restaurant concept in the hope that that will take hold. And, you know, my vision is that 25 years from now, you drive down the highway and you see, you know, McDonald's, Burger King, Relundi, you know. That's my challenge these days. So hopefully we will succeed, and you know, I hopefully leave a little mark in this world that my ideas, you know, were realized.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And finally, let's talk about the other side of your life, la famiglia, the
Ah, la
family.
famiglia. Well, you know, I am blessed beyond all expectations. I have five beautiful children and a stepdaughter, and we have nine beautiful grandkids. Just amazing, you know. And I have a beautiful property in Plymouth on the lake. And when they all come down, you know, I watch them, you know, fish, swim, just do all the activities that kids normally do. And I just sit back, just sit back and watch them interact with each other, you know, jump in the water, jump in the boat, catch fish. And to me, that is priceless. There's no, you know, there's no wealth that can match that visual of your grandchildren having fun. And I consider myself blessed that I can provide them with that opportunity and that experience. And again, I consider myself blessed. And as a matter of fact, I'm building a cantina, and you know that my goal is to surround with this big table, and I'm going to surround all my grandkids around that table and say, all right, kids, today we're going to make cheese. Today we're going to make sausages. Next week we're going to make pizzas. We're going to make spaghettis. We're going to make, you know, different foods so that they hopefully will recognize, see, and learn the traditions in which I grew up in. You know, when I was growing up, we didn't have stock markets and Stop and Shop. You want a chicken, you go in the back of the house, you grab a chicken by the neck, that would do the deed, and we'd be eating chicken, you know. But you know, we had eggs. Eggs do not come in a carton. Eggs come, you know, from the chicken house, you know, or rabbits. And so it's an experience that I cherish. I'm glad that I had that experience, and I hope and try to pass it on to my grandchildren.
Grazie mille, Michael Colomba. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure to share your interesting success story and to host you on Italieco.
My pleasure. Thank you.
E se vi è piaciuta l'intervista di oggi, potete iscrivervi al canale per non perdere le prossime. Il canale YouTube si chiama Viviana Dragani, host of Italieco. Potete trovarlo semplicemente nella search tab e cliccare su iscriviti and also ring the bell. Suonate la campanella così che ogni video che pubblichiamo sarà anche sulla vostra homepage. Grazie e a presto con Italieco, l'unico programma bilingue dell'area di Boston.